All right. Well, good morning. Thank you, Pastor Dan, for sharing your pulpit. I appreciate it. I've had the opportunity recently to preach at a couple different churches, and I love it. I love it. I can't tell you how much. But Pastor started out talked a little bit earlier about I believe and what this church believes and what the denominations all come back to in their belief. This morning, I want to look at that word believe, because most of us are familiar with the scripture of John 3:16, that if you believe in the Lord and confess the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you will be saved. A lot of times when we hear that word believe, we think of something a little bit different in our American culture as the word, what it was really intended to portray. So the word to believe means to have a firm religious faith or to accept as true, genuine, or real, like such as ideals that we believe in, to have a firm conviction as to the goodness, efficiency, or ability of something, such as Jesus Christ and his church, or simply to hold an opinion or to think that that might be true. This is our world, a world of no absolutes. The Strong's Concordance talks about it in this such way: to think to be true, to place confidence in, to place confidence in. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you place your confidence in Jesus Christ. Used in the New Testament of conviction and trust, to which a man is impelled by a certain inner and higher prerogative and law of soul. To trust in Jesus or God is able to either attain or in obtaining or to do something about this thing, saving faith. That's the Strong's. Now, Pastor Dan shared with you what most churches believe today. And I looked at Lori and I said, he's preaching my sermon. So if I sound like I'm repeating some things here, it's because I am. But maybe the Lord wanted us to hear it twice today. Okay? I believe the following statements. These are the I believe statements. These are the statements that I put confidence in. These are the statements that I am impelled by. Now, I may get a little bit excited this morning. I know for most of you that is going to be a complete shock, because I'm such a meek, mild, quiet, tender person. Why are you laughing? All right. I'm getting warm. And I did not plan on doing that, but it's getting warm, and I'm getting excited. Because when I start talking about the things that I believe, I get excited. I get excited about the fact that what I believe, I really believe. And I put all my confidence in. I put all my hope in. The first I believe statement. The JBQers would know this. If my little daughter Rachel was in here, she would answer this. This is one of the first ones she learned. But the Bible, according to our junior Bible quiz answer, is the inspired word of God and his revelation to all people of himself and his plan of salvation. I believe that. I do. I mean, the Bible is comprised of 66 books in total. 39 in the Old Testament, mostly written in Hebrew, and then also 27 books in the New Testament, which make up the New Covenant with God. And those were mostly written in Greek, and that makes up our canon of scriptures. There was a process, can I have my water, please? There was a process by which they came up with what to decide would go in the canon of scriptures. We're not going to get into studying all that, but it's a very interesting study about that. Excuse me. So, now I believe most of us in here read a translation of that Bible. How many in here read Greek? Anyone? Anybody read Hebrew? Okay. So you and I, as Americans in our culture, we read a translation of the original work. That's what it is. It's a translation. There are lots of translations. This church mostly uses the NIV. There is also the New American Standard Bible. which is a good literal translation. There is the King James and the New King James, which has pulled out all the these and thous and hasts, which is also a really good translation. There's a lot of really good translations, but nevertheless, they are translations. Okay? Now, the translation is from writings that were done anywhere from 2,000 to 3,500 years ago. Moses started penning the Torah when he was leaving Egypt. The book of Job, they figure, is slightly older than the book of Genesis. Okay? But you are reading, when you pick up this word, you are reading a translation of a text, some of them written 3,500 years ago. How many other books are you reading that are 3,500 years ago, 3,500 years old? When you pick up the new translation and you flip over there, you're reading a book that was translated from texts that were written on papyrus, paper, weeds, 2,000 years ago. That's exciting. That's God's word to us. I believe that the Bible is verbally inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, every word, verbally inspired, for correction and reproof and training. Where are we getting our training from? I hope it's from the Word of God. I believe it is without error and without contradictions. The contradictions in there, if studied, can be, if he says that it was A in this place and not A but B in this place, talking or describing something, then that's a contradiction. But what you'll find in the Bible is where somebody describes it and describes A, somebody else describes it and says B, but he doesn't necessarily contradict A. Okay? It's just an addition or a further expounding upon. I believe the Bible is approximately 1,600 years old. 1,600 years old. And it was written by about, well, where's one of my JBQ kids? Is Micah in here? Where's my son, Micah? Where, Micah, how many people wrote the Bible, son? About 40. Okay? There were about 40 different authors over a period of 1,600 years in our canon of Scripture. There was no collaborating on a lot of it. Some there were. As one wrote a gospel, he would look back at other stuff. But most of the books were written by any people from priests to kings to queens to poor peasants, fishermen, all kind, a whole large dynamic group of people wrote this word by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I believe that. If somebody says, well, I don't like what that says, that's too bad. God wrote it. That settles it. Whether you agree with it or not, it has no bearing on the subject. I believe the Bible is our authoritative rule of faith and conduct. Another JBQ question, which simply states that the Bible has the right to command us in what we believe and what we do. I believe that. See, belief in God is not a culture, is not a problem in our culture. You can say, yeah, I believe in God. And other people, yeah, I believe in God. Well, the devil believes in God. That doesn't mean anything. The problem is when you put the name Jesus Christ in there and you start talking about this book as being the authoritative rule of faith and conduct. Now you've got an issue. In our culture, now you've got a fight on your hand. Never used to be. 200 years ago, it was accepted. You were an odd duck if you didn't believe that at the founding of our country. Now, you're one of those weird holy roller people if you follow this book. Oh, and 200 years will do. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to believe, this culture says. That's fine for you. I don't need it. We talked a little bit about, this morning, a little bit about the arguments between creation and evolution. We have a society that is teaching us evolution. Now, see, I believe, according to this word, not some Big Bang theory, not evolution, or a mixture of this book with evolution. I believe this book. I believe the universe was created in 6 days, and on the seventh, my God rested. I believe that. Do you know universe? The origin of the word uni being one, and verse, spoken sentence, or single, and spoken sentence. I believe a single spoken sentence. In the beginning, God. I believe that. Scientists of today that are well known and renowned will come to you and say, you're crazy. That's all a bunch of nutty stuff. That religion thing, there's no such thing as God. Sorry, this book's been here, not mine personally, but the Bible was started 3,500 years ago, was around then, and will be around long after you're gone, Mr. or Mrs. Scientist. Won't it? Thank you, Linda. I got to tell on myself. I went out to lunch with Mike Burke about 2 weeks ago. He said, if you need any amens to get them fired up, you just give me a sign. So we were working on a sign, and then he told me I got to teach the kids. Oh, man. But with Linda here, I don't need to work out a sign. I appreciate that, Linda. See, preachers, when they get excited, they preach faster. So you got to remember that. Single spoken sentence. In the beginning, God. Not in the beginning, bang. Other than bang, God said it, and it was so. Not in the beginning, millions and billions of years ago. In the beginning, God. I believe in the biblical account of creation in all things, including the human race and including Satan. I believe in heaven and hell. I believe that this young earth is about 6,000 years old. If you trace back the genealogy that's found in God's word to the temple, to Christ, and now, we are about 6,000 years old. Now, somebody can come up and say, oh, you're nuts. I'm sorry. This is what I believe. I place my confidence in this. I believe that about 4,400 years ago, God flooded the entire earth. I believe the heavens came and let open, and I believe, as the word says, that water came up from the ground. As the planets were shaken and plates broke open and water came bursting forth, that's what the word says. There is evidence all over this world and this earth of a cataclysmic flood. They will explain it away. Do you know that 150-pound crab or clams and 300-pound clams are found at the top of mountains, 17,000, 20,000 feet high? Now, I don't know, but maybe gravity was different then, millions of years ago. But I still don't think clams could climb very well. Any shred of evidence that's found that would back up the biblical record of our earth's history is quickly shoved under the rug. So they can teach your kids in the schools that we evolved from some monkey. And any scientist, there are Christian scientists, and very, very smart ones, but if you belong to this book and you believe in this book and the creation account in this book, you will never get a job at any kind of college, prestigious college, or never write an article. Look into some of this stuff. It's amazing how they have fired people and put them out of commission for teaching what God's word says. 2 Peter 3:5 talks about how you don't have to turn there. I'll have a couple that you can turn to at the end. But 2 Peter 3:5 says that they deliberately forget in the King James about the creation. That's the NIV. The King James says that they're willingly ignorant. I like Kent Hovind's translation of that. Dumb on purpose. Dumb on purpose. Two 2,000 years ago, I believe God's son was born to a virgin. I believe that. Oh, I really believe that one. I believe it all, but that one gets me real excited. Because that one talks about my way of salvation. How I'm to be made in right relationship with this holy and powerful God. Oh, my goodness. 2,000 years ago, Christ was born. And he was crucified for my sins, this word says. And then on the third day, he rose and walked and talked with his disciples and other people for 40 more days. This was witnessed by over 500 people, my word says. And the disciples who were scared to say, yeah, I knew that guy, I was hanging out with that guy, now are willing to go to death and be crucified and killed themselves because of what they now believe and put their confidence in. I believe that he ascended and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for those who have accepted him as their Lord and Savior. I believe that. I believe that. And I also believe, here's a really good one, that on the third, or that he's coming back. He's coming back, and I think it's pretty soon. And I believe we are going to be raptured. People say, I don't see anywhere in the Bible where there's the word rapture. No, you won't. But in the Greek, the word is raptua. But it means caught up. Morgan? She's like, Daddy, don't do this to me. JBQers. I love JBQ. These young kids are learning God's word. Check, test. Morgan, slow, because JBQers can go fast. Slow, so everyone can hear you and understand. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17.
For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever.
Thank you. Woo! We're going to be caught up. We're going to be raptured. I'm glad you're excited about it, because I am. I am excited about it. And then I believe after we're caught up, we're going to have a marriage supper. It's going to last for about 7 years or so. Meanwhile, all hell is breaking loose down here. And then I believe after 7 years, we get to come back with our Lord and Savior, and rule and reign with him for 1,000 years in a new glorified body. I believe that. Call me crazy. I don't care. I still am going to believe this. And I believe his name was Jesus. He was who he claimed to be and is who he claimed to be. And I believe he's going to do what he said he's going to do. I believe that. Okay. I'm looking at the clock. Now, other people can believe in big bangs and rocks, rain and chemical soup, and the first self-replicating living cell, which they still have no answer for, which leads to evolution's monkey and you and I. I believe in this. I believe in the beginning God, and I will give my life to what I believe to be true. I will be faithful to pray and read and study God's word and to find out what pleases my Father and King. And I will be faithful to try to get the distractions, as Pastor Dan was talking about, out of my way. They cause a hindrance in that relationship. I will live and share the love of God and the reason for the hope that is within me. I will search out and be faithful to what he has called me to do personally. That includes making disciples. He didn't say make converts. He said make disciples. I will be the father and the husband that the word has commanded me to be. And I will do my best to remember that I belong to another kingdom. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, this is not my home. This is not our home. This is not our home. But while we're here, God gave us some gifts. He gave me some gifts to help me on my journey. First of all, Jesus said, I'm going to leave you now, but I'm going to send you a helper. That book that we're going to read is going to talk about that helper. I hope you're fired up about reading it. Do you know that if you believe in Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, think about this now, you get the Spirit of the Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God living and resting in this temple. That's an amazing thought when you think about it. Get the junk out of your life and start really realizing what you have. He has given me a helpmate. And Lord knows I need her. No amens. No amens. I'm telling you, Lord's working on me. No amens. Thanks, Linda. And he has also given me a church family. I love this family. I do. I'll be honest with you. The Lord has called Lori and I, because it's on both of us, into the ministry. And every once in a while now, this thought just enters, there may be someday that I got to leave this. I got to leave my church family. We've been here for 15 years. We've been married for 16 and been here for 15 years of them. You guys are family. When we first got here, we started teaching preteens in a little room that was right about where that flag is sitting now. Now I look out there and I see these 10-year-old preteens that we taught are now, whoa! Got kids! Yeah, it does. All that gray hair helps right along with it, doesn't it? We've held babies in the nursery. We've watched toddlers. We've taught kids in Kids Spectacular. And then we just got this one group that we just couldn't get rid of. These young adults. They just wouldn't leave. They just clung to us like barnacles. It's like, no, we loved every minute of it. We loved every minute of it. And now we got JBQers that we're teaching. And back on the preteens, we've made a complete circle. We've laughed with and cried with and prayed with and been prayed for in our family. Made some mistakes along the way. Had to grow up. Had to ask forgiveness. Had to be taken to the woodshed by the Lord once in a while. But we're a family. How many know that family can be brutally honest sometimes? Even when you don't want them to. Stop! I don't want to hear anymore. Family can be brutally honest. But if it's an honest person, the worst an honest person can do is make an honest mistake, right? That's the worst. There is not a perfect church in this world. Small C church. There are no perfect churches. Because if churches were perfect, they would have to be made up of perfect people. Churches are made up of imperfect people. So there are no perfect churches. But there is a blood-bought church, capital C, that's been made perfect in Christ. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. If you want to turn there, you can. I have it printed out. I'm pressed for time, so I'm going to move. But Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Take a drink and give you a little time to turn there. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. And he says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unit of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, as God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." And then later on down in verse 14 to 16, he says again, "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament," that's all of us, "grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." If you're part of the body, you got work to do. Now, we're about to celebrate a couple of things here. Communion being the first. Communion, the definition is unity. Unity. Empathy. Closeness. Relationship and intimacy. Christ commanded us during His Last Supper with His disciples. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Celebrated the Last Supper, and now we celebrate it as communion. We're also going to celebrate and get together in our fellowship groups today. Build each other up. Pour into each other's lives. We're a family. That's what we are. If you're a visitor, you're welcome to join our family. We're a little messed up. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're messed up." Now, boy, you guys had a lot of fun with that one. Now turn to your neighbor and say, "I'm messed up." We're a family. You guys had too much fun with that one. We're a family. We're a family. I hope you feel that here. I hope you do. I hope you feel the sense of love and the Holy Spirit. I hope you feel the sense of just knowing that your brothers and sisters in the Lord are with you. Pastor Dan, that's how I'm ending it.